Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. In the studio with me today, the somber, the sad, the, the melancholy man. The UPS man in brown, Mib, himself.
What?
Eric.
Why would you say all those things about
Z?
Me?
Well, because...
Just being facetious?
I'm being facetious because okay. He has a topic today that's going to be... I tell you what, man, it's a good thing you're listening because I'm sure you're going to be laughing at one point or another today, get a little hope, and maybe even the Word of God might show up. Amazing what might take place.
That's possible, yeah.
Yes. But we have a topic that I'm going to even be surprised about, but I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, we always like to, you know, we know that you guys are listening at different times a day. Some of you guys are listening to this live. Some of you are listening to it from a different part of the world at a different time of night or day. And you know what? Praise God. Nothing happens by mistake in His world. You're listening because God has you. He has you right where He wants you right now to be able to listen to something that's going to bring some hope and give you some joy and maybe even give you a different perspective on life, you know. And so that's a little – we want to be able to encourage a little bit. And since I'm not able to do that, would you like to kick it off?
Yeah. Raul, you are quite capable of encouraging. I know. But you use the word joy.
Yes.
And I think about joy, and I think about the fact that so many Christian men just aren't really experiencing that joy that comes from knowing God as their Savior. And, you know, there can be all sorts of reasons why that joy isn't there. You know, it's, you know, what we're doing, you know, to quench the spirit and whatnot. But one of the things that really blocks a man's joy is when he withholds something from the Lord.
Mm.
And
I don't know who would do that. So we think we do, right?
Right. So what I'm going to encourage the men on this morning is in giving.
Ah.
Because when we give, God loves a joyful giver.
Mm-hmm.
And giving, it brings the joy of the Lord to the man's heart because it takes down that wall where we know that we should be doing one thing, but we're doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's different ways that a man can give. There's the three T's. There's time, treasure, and talent.
Hmm.
Okay. So the time, you know, we have time, and every moment that I have,
yes,
is because of God's mercy, and He's chosen to give me that one more breath, right?
There you go.
Why would I not honor God with the time that He has given me by giving time back to Him? So that's one of the ways that we can do it, you know, by serving in the church, you know, helping with a food kitchen, a soup kitchen. I mean, I could make a huge list of things, but, you know, we can give of our time. We can give of our treasure, and that's the money that we have, because everything that we have is because God has chosen to give it to us,
mm-hmm,
and it's all His anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and when we withhold that, we're withholding the things that God has blessed us with.
Yes.
And, you know, God wants us to be willing to give those first fruits to Him.
Yep.
So there's another thing, and talent. Many of us have talents. We have giftings that, you know, that we've been made good at certain things, mm-hmm, by birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just said, I'm going to give this talent to Eric, I'm going to give this talent to Raul. And really to use that, to not use that talent that God has given us,
yes.
Well, that's sinful. It really is. Because, you know, I've given you, Eric, I've given you this talent. Use it for my kingdom. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I'm going to use it for me, and I'm going to use it to glorify me. Well, that becomes sinful. So we can give to God of time, treasure, and talent. So my encouragement to the men is not to neglect any of those, because when we withhold, we're going to be not experiencing all of the joy that He has for us.
Amen. I like that. TTT.
The three T's.
The three T's. Wow.
And if you want to donate to faithplace.org, I'm sure there's a link on the website.
Yeah, I'm sure there is too. Anyway, the producer always makes sure that the website's always looking good anyway. So hey, that's some good encouragement. You know, God, you've been gifted with something, use it. If you don't use it, guess what? You lose it. You know, so hedge forward. Where'd that come from? That's out of my dictionary, my new dictionary of words.
The Raul Standard Dictionary.
Yeah, we're on page 1.5 right now. You know? Okay, enough of that. So I'm excited. I want to hear about this topic that we're going to be talking about because you gave it what's the title of this thing?
All right. It's basically, this is like the first ever episode for women.
It is?
Yeah, because we talk about how we have stealthy listeners.
You think
listeners.
These guys are going to say, hey, swear but, you need but, to listen to this?
But, you know, we have the stealthy women listeners. They're listening anyway.
Yes,
so we're,
yes.
You know, I'm saying, hey, you know what? Let's talk to these ladies. And men, listen also, because you're going to hear some things and you're going to laugh and you're going to be encouraged. And so that doesn't mean men get to tune out.
So that means that we might have to have the producer partake in something here every now and then.
That's
her,
possible.
Get her take on this thing, too.
That's possible.
She's not a man.
Yes. That is true. So here's what I did, Raul. I went on Google, okay? So much information out there, right? And I just typed in, why do men... And then I left it blank, okay? And so the search was just, why do men? And it's all these different questions came up as, you know, why do men do the things that they do?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we talk about for the stealthy women women listening in.
Yeah, they want to know what's going on.
Why does the man in my life do the things that he does?
And someone would say the stupid things that he does.
The stupid things that he does. You know, we can address that too, because
yes.
That's actually a good question.
Yeah. Okay, so
anyways, here. Okay, well, let's just dig right into a question. Should we just do that? Okay.
No, I like to kind of banter back and forth on things we don't know what we're talking about.
You're not making this easy on me.
Okay, I'm trying to. I'm smiling.
All right, first question. Why does my husband grab me and think it will turn me on?
Oh, yeah. The old grab. Yeah, in places that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it works in the movies, Raul.
It does?
Yeah.
Everything works in the movies.
It works in the movies. So, yeah. I want to get a little something from my wife, and it worked for this guy in the movie. So I think I'll just go up and give her a squeeze, and she's going to be like, oh, honey.
Yeah, I've been waiting for you to touch me that way. Yes.
And, I love it when you sneak up and squeeze me like that.
Yeah, that we all know, for those of us who have sober minds, realize that that does not work.
No.
Although it's funny, you know, with the majority of guys would probably say, yeah, you can grab me like that anytime you want. We're ready at the drop of a hat. And being ready and, is one thing. You know, when you're not ready, it's kind of like, you know, women are wired a little bit different. You know, it's kind of like that LED light that has a dimmer switch on it. You know, you gotta turn it on so it gets a little electric, in the sense that, hey, you know what? You know, I find you very attractive, find you very, you know, appealing tonight, in a sense. And what you're doing, in a sense, being kind and so on and so forth, but actually from a heartfelt sense of turning up the dimmer switch, right? And as a result of that, that has a tendency of so much better than just coming up and flipping the switch, because that's what we used to do. And hey, you flip the switch, it's on. There it is. Hey, come on, mm-hmm. You know. And that's not how it works. Our wives are not instruments of
gratification.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And here's another reason that we do it is because it gets our juices flowing, right? And
no, really? We're thinking about ourselves?
We're thinking about ourselves. It's like, hey, ooh, look at that. I'm going to go grab me that, you know? there's a lot of selfish intent there.
I know that there's got to be stories out there where all of a sudden the guy does something with his wife and she reacts not knowing he was there and then slaps him or hits him or gets an elbow or knocks him down.
Or he grabs her in the kitchen not realizing she's holding a knife, you know?
You know, there are those situations. Those are the ones that everyone says, don't ever share this with anybody. But you know those things happen. But, but here's the deal. How often, do we really ever get it? That you just don't do that. You really have to think before you do something like that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you may get a reaction that is not very comfortable one time. And then a week later, you're trying it again. Like, oh, I guess she maybe warmed up from then. She should know that every time I walk near her that, you know, that could happen.
Yeah, I played that movie for her where the girl acted differently, and I was trying to send some signals. I was hoping if she would get it. No, but women are so much more relationally minded than we are. Yeah. And so when we give of ourselves in a very relational, loving manner, that's what women respond to.
And that looks different than the way that
our
wives,
will say our wives respond.
Yes, because primarily they want to engage. There has to be sort of a warm-up period in a sense. And even with that, you know, sometimes the wife, if there's good communication, she'll say, you know what, I hope you're not putting a huge expectation on this, because, and then all of a sudden the guy, you can just see his heart start to go, oh no. You know, but no, hey, you know what? Let's love our wives as Christ loves the church, you know, give her, she wants that time and attention. She wants you to come up and ask her, how was your day, sweetheart? You know, how did things, you know, go today with the kids, or how was work, or whatever it might've been, or how, you know, whatever it might be taking place. See, we do those things. Think about this. Before they became our wives, they were our girlfriends, right? Our significant mm-hmm. others, and we courted them. You don't even use the word anymore, courting.
I do with my kids.
Okay, yes, well, good. But we're pursuing this person, so we're going to be on our best behavior. You're going to shave before you see her. You're going to probably shower too, so you're going to be looking differently than you would normally.
Yeah, you're going to try and look your best and smell your best. You're going to dote on her. So small gifts, kind words.
Exactly. So now that you end up walking down the aisle and have this wedding and everyone's happy for you guys, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I got what I want. Now I don't have to try to get it.
Yeah. That's the finish line.
Yeah, that's
for the guys, marriage is the finish line. For women, it's the start line.
Amen. And guys need to look at it that way. Well, first off, it's not it's not really the finish line. It cannot be. It has to. I'm telling you, it's a continual thing that takes place.
Yeah. Yep.
But we actually end up saying, hey, I've got what I want. She's mine. Yes. And, you know, we have a mindset of, you know, we want what we want and we want it now type of thing. Right. And we find out very quickly that, you know, maybe on the honeymoon and maybe for the first month or so, she's going to kind of cater and, you know, and love you and be able to share, you know, things with you. And you'll probably do the same thing. But then after that honeymoon period is over, you know, all of a sudden it's kind of like, hey, are those your shorts that you threw over the corner? Or your pants? Are those your socks over there? Or, you know.
Is that you squeezing the toothpaste from the middle of the tube?
It all becomes, things start to, this is where the communication really needs to heighten. You know, being able to, you know, say, hey, what are you expecting? And so on. Now, I will say this, an awful lot of this in premarital should be coming up also. But sometimes, even in premarital counseling, it's all a fog in a sense. I'm so excited about getting married. Yes, we can do this, we'll do that. And you're acknowledging and going along with everything just because you're looking forward to that wedding night. In mm-hmm. a sense, whatever. Yes, wedding night.
I want what
and
I want.
Yes, and then after you again, you've got the ring on the finger, and you've got the blessing from family and relatives and good friends, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, all right, now things begin. She starts to see the real you. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now she sees the guy who comes up behind her in the kitchen and grabs her.
Grabs her, yeah.
You know, why do I do that? Right. Well, she's the only person I can come up and grab without getting arrested, so.
And nowadays, that's not necessarily true either anymore.
That might not be true either.
Yeah.
But
anyway, yeah, so we need to really be able to, I mean, that question right there, we could do a whole show on. And I don't know how long you want to spend on it. How many questions
I've got a few of them, but we don't have to hit them all.
Okay, but anyway.
Anyway. Yeah.
Whatever you think. I can keep talking about that, but we don't have to.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Here's we'll go on to another one after this break.
Hey, that was good. You were paying attention. She's over there giving us the timeout sign saying, hey, let's do that. So good job. You don't need to be here. Well, I just leave and do the show all by yourself.
No.
We're going to take a break. Start writing things down, guys, about how you need to be listening and paying attention to your wife and not surprising her necessarily. Surprises are good, but not the ones where you grab her body. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Summer is in full swing, and there's nothing that says summer like a great barbecue with friends. If you're having a barbecue, make sure you serve your guests top quality meats from Hemplers. Hemplers offers hot dogs, bratwurst, and delicious bacon, the perfect addition to any hamburger. They offer a variety of meats that are nitrate-free and have no gluten. Improve your next barbecue by choosing Hemplers meats. For more information and where to purchase Hempler meats, go to Hemplers.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. I almost called you Felix.
We don't look anything alike. I mean, not if two guys could look any different.
In so many ways. Eric and Raul in the studio today. And anyway, my head is just still thinking of all these other things that... these are good questions. That was a good question. And we've got another good one coming up here, and I'm trying to look for an answer out of the Bible, actually.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, the next question that I came across is, why do men barbecue? Why do men barbecue? Well, for one, it's a pleasant aroma unto the Lord, right? We're doing it as an offering unto God, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, not really.
I find that was it. Numbers 20, chapter 28. 27. Oh, wait.
That,
yes, 24 rather. In the same way, you shall offer daily for 7 days, I like that, the food of a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. So even if you burn it, it's still a good thing. But it's an aroma pleasing to God.
And it still is pleasing.
It's
pleasing to men. And, you know, now we have the perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ, so praise God.
Yes.
We're not required to do those Old Testament civil and ceremonial
but
laws
that doesn't
anymore.
Keep us from wanting
but that
to...
that doesn't keep us from wanting to barbecue.
Yes.
Because it is a pleasant aroma.
But there's a couple of reasons, though, that this takes place, right?
Well, you know, I think the reason that I like to barbecue is that, you know, my wife, she will be in there, she'll be slicing onions and tomatoes and cutting up the fruit salad and making pies and getting the bowl of chips put together, and she's spending all this countless hours putting together everything else, and I'm like flipping burgers on the
grill, trying to avoid you grabbing her,
right?
And stuff.
Okay. And so I spend a few minutes on the grill.
Yes.
And we bring out all the food, and everybody starts eating, and they say, Eric, what a wonderful barbecue. And they completely ignore the fact that my wife has just spent hours on everything else. And so, it's
but
because
you missed
I wanted...
But you missed your opportunity at that time. When they make that statement, well, thank you very much. I'm glad you like the barbecue. But my wife, she puts so much effort into everything here, and it's so good, sweetheart. I love how you were able to put this together so it looks so good and inviting.
Yeah, that would have been the right thing to do.
Yes. I'm just giving these guys tips when that sort of thing takes place.
Say
thank you and then give it on to the next person who really is more
My inclination there is, I did a really good job on the barbecue. Yep.
Come over to my house anytime.
Yeah, that steak is good, medium rare steak,
I've never been invited to one of your barbecues. put you on the spot.
Let me
just change the topic here, or the subject in a sense, when it comes to barbecue. I think the reason why men like barbecue, because we're very caveman-ish. We like fire.
Amen.
Okay?
I like fire.
I mean, I love my fire pit. I love barbecue. There's something about fire, you know. Back in the days when bonfires were, allowed to do it, and they were in reason, not things where you're burning houses and stuff, you know, but that were decent. There's something about fire. Neanderthal.
Neanderthal, yeah.
Type of attitude, okay? But there's something about the fire. And there's something about cooking meat on it. And I think that comes back. That's the way we're designed, you know. Maybe we're all Levites, because Levites are the priests who actually did most of the barbecuing back in the temple and everything, right? But, of course, the sacrifices we're talking about. But there's something about that. But it also brings, when men, you find there's a certain common denominator amongst men. Now it becomes not so much a challenge as I've got to be the best. I've got to come up with the best tasting, whether it's pork or meat or even vegetables.
We'll turn anything
whatever
into a competition.
Oh, yeah. And I think that becomes part of it, too, is that when somebody invites you over to barbecue, you, of course, you all start to salivate a little bit and go, oh, that I can taste that already. But you always look forward to, let's check this out. And have you ever been to a barbecue where it wasn't very good?
Oh, yeah.
Did you lie and tell them that it was good?
Well, there's a difference between lying and
not telling
not
the whole
saying
truth.
Anything.
You know, yeah, see, when people come over my house, they don't say anything. I pull it out of them. Say, hey, what, you don't like the food? You're not saying anything, you know? I want
to
know.
I'm not coming over to one of your barbecues. You're going to put me on the spot.
No, you've been to you've been here when I cooked.
I have
barbecued and stuff, and you know, it's not the best, but it's not bad.
No, you're a great barbecue. You're the best barbecuer, bro. You win.
You're just hungry. You know that you got some nice weather coming up, and that's what you're doing. You're just working for an invite.
Okay. I'll tell you one good thing about barbecues. It does tend to bring men together. You know, we'll gather around that barbecue and we'll all be smelling it and saying, "Oh, I think you should be flipping that one right about now." And
yeah,
there's something about the camaraderie of a barbecue.
And there's something about being that it's your barbecue, you're in charge, you've got the long fork to be able to back guys away from. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what to do, and that sort of thing. But anyway, so men love, I like to barbecue. I really do because it's a way of bringing people together. I'm hospitality is one of my giftings, okay? And same with my wife. And we love being able to bring and watch people enjoy themselves and stuff. And that is part of what I like to do. But I also love the searing of the meat and
the sound of the sizzle.
All of that just kind of goes with it. I love when my grandkids
when you get the nice crisscross
come up,
pattern on there.
Yeah. And when they come up and they watch, they're looking and say, "Hey, Papa, what is, that looks good. That smells good." I love that. It's kind of like Christmas time when they know that you're doing certain things and, it kind of that attention grabbing type of thing. We should do the same thing with the Word of God with our grandkids and our children, as they come and are attracted to something like that. That's a perfect time to be able to let them know about, where barbecue began. We had a good laugh here the other night when at Band of Brothers. I had Michael, who is a Messianic Jew, who we talked about Passover, right? And he told all us guys in the audience, he says, "You guys all think that you guys got down on the barbecue. You know where it began? With the Jews."
With the Jews, yeah, thousands of years ago.
Nobody talks about Jewish barbecue, Like, everyone's talking about Southern barbecue or, Kentucky Blue barbecue or whatever it is. But it's the Jews are the ones that started the barbecue.
Yep.
Anyway.
So, my encouragement to the men in this would be, you flipped a good burger. Let's give some credit back to the wife who did a whole lot of work.
Yes, yes.
If that's the way it works in your house, I don't know.
Yeah.
Every house is different.
Yeah, but you still want to be able to let your wife know that you appreciate what she's doing. Yeah, you want to keep her coming back.
Ain't that
but
the
actually,
truth.
And it's not so much about just saying it, it's pleasing her. But, truly, why not give credit where credit's due, And I think the majority of guys are willing to do that sort of thing and say that sort of thing, to give that sort of acknowledgement,
Yeah, hey, my wife made the marinade.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever,
And don't you be grabbing her.
No.
Anyway, how about we get, let's take a break. We got, and we'll come back. Have we got a question for the next one?
I've got lots of questions.
Well, give me a question. We're going to give it to them to think about. Give us something to think about.
Okay. Well, that's good. A little bit more serious. Why do men hate going to church?
Ooh. Okay. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio with Eric Alone. Bye-bye.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire.
I like to know. I just ask it.
I was wondering the same thing. Question. Who is this?
Who is this? And,
the producer's looking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's looking for it. Early. That I like that song. That was very cool. Anyway, so why men don't go to church? That's a great question.
I guess I kind of have to rephrase it, though. Why do Christian men not like going to church?
Okay.
Because if you're not a Christian man, well, obviously you're not going to like going to church.
And the majority of guys who are listening anyway, I'd like to think, are all followers of Jesus.
Okay? Right.
And they've accepted that. So that was Soul on Fire by Third Day.
So, okay.
Soul on Fire.
I'm going to be buying me a new album.
There you go. Yeah, that was very, very good. It almost sounded like Todd Agnew a little bit.
Yeah, it did. I was wondering, this sounds kind of like Todd Agnew, but it's not Todd Agnew.
Yeah. Anyway, so Christian men, why they don't go to church? Well, there's probably a hundred reasons why.
Yeah, there could be hundreds of reasons. Or, we don't have enough.
I'm not even going to give that the description of reason. I'm not going to even use that adjective. I'm going to say it's what excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give for not going to church?
And what is an excuse? It's the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie.
There you go. I like that. That's right. That's what
Pastor Steve Mason.
Yep, that's right.
I got that from him years ago. And I was like, ouch.
Why did I come tonight to hear that?
Yeah. This is the last time I'm coming to church.
Yes. Telling me that God's speaking the truth to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, there's one of the excuses. We don't want to hear what an excuse is.
Yeah, exactly. We just, part of it is that we think that we're not good enough, because somewhere along the line, especially if we've been married for a period of time and there's a little bit of comfort and now you have children and maybe the children are getting older, but you start, maybe you never really, for whatever reason, you became spiritually lazy, okay,
mm-hmm.
and not continuing to seek God, but continue to listen to the lies of the world, which are of the enemy, that drew us away from the Lord. Whether it's, hey, you've got a football game that's on, that's taking place on the mm-hmm. East Coast, it starts at 9 o'clock,
right.
So you need to be able to watch that, and you can't really record it because you don't have that, blah, 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 to be able to do that sort of thing. So you need to stay home because this is a very important game and stuff, and I'm sure everybody will understand. But that's all it takes, just one time, two times. You know what? You missed church two times. One time, okay, there might be a fairly decent good reason, okay? But you miss it two times in a row, and now it becomes a little bit of a challenge, because by the third week comes up, you might say, you know what, I don't have to. If you miss it three times in a row,
what's the big deal?
It's no longer an issue until the wife says, hey, aren't you going to come? I'll just drive you guys. Or no, you take the car. I'm going to be meeting Larry or whatever. I got to do, and I've got work I've got to take care of. Whatever it is, it's all the untruth. Okay, and then it's not the complete truth that you're giving them while you're not going.
Yeah, so we make those patterns in our lives where, we miss a few weeks, we become mm-hmm. lazy, we realize how nice it is to, to sleep for that extra hour or, mm-hmm. To be available to watch the game that, that you've been waiting all week to see. There's so many things that we can say. There's things, that we go and we hear and we realize how weak we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't, in my flesh, I don't want people telling me how weak I am.
Well, exactly. Well, I remember growing up sobriety, it was through 12-step program. And I remember hearing all the time, go where you're loved. Okay. You always have a tendency of going where you're unloved, where you're going to get beat up or challenged and everything. Right. So I had this tendency of thinking, going where I'm loved. And so if I'm going to church and I'm hearing what they're saying, it may be the truth, mm-hmm. but I don't like it because it impedes and makes me feel guilty about the way that I'm living in darkness and my sin.
Right.
It's starting to bring light into areas. It makes me uncomfortable. And I don't want to have to be fidgety, and I don't want to meet the pastor. I don't want to say nice job, but I don't want to pretend. Because somebody might grab me and say, hey, I see you got a little darkness going on there in your life. I can see that. I was always conscious that someone's going to be able to see my imperfection, mm-hmm. okay? And I definitely did not want any, my family or people that I influence to see my flaws and my weaknesses. No way. When's it going to happen? My pride got in the way. It still does,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Well, you're so exactly right that the truth can often come across as condemnation mm-hmm. when we're living in a way that, you know, would bring condemnation upon us.
Yes. But well, it's the conviction.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But we receive it as condemnation
and shame.
And shame. Now, we have to remember that, like it says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, we struggle with sin. But we are washed by the blood of Christ, and we have the opportunity now to start this new day and to seek Him
yeah.
with everything that He's given us today. Now, you know, but when we've been caught up in things,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to go and be around people who are seeking the Lord when I myself am having a lot of difficulty with my sin.
Yes.
Now, I don't want the women listening to think that, oh, my husband who doesn't like to go to church obviously must have a secret sin.
Yes.
I'm not here to, you know, to cast stones like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there are things that happen in a man's mind that, you know, we will justify our actions.
Well, truly, I mean, it's no different than in men's ministry as it would be in church, but more so in men's ministry because you're more, now you only have men, no women, right? So it's different than the church body where women and men and mm-hmm. maybe some young adults, children, okay, might be partaking. But in men's ministry, it's just that it's a little more focused. Now, when it becomes a little more focused, it takes a lot of courage to attend a men's ministry gathering.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'll do maybe the once a month breakfast that they do.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a little safe because the majority of the time they'll talk a lot of surface talk, but depending on the ministry itself.
And a lot of times I'm not asked to, you know, to be transparent.
Right.
I can go ahead and I can go there and I cannot
right.
Reveal anything about my struggles or temptations.
But just the same, my head will say I'm not going to go because they might ask if somebody wants to say, hey, Raul, you know, we'd love to hear about you and what you have done, you know, how you found Jesus and so on and so forth. I don't want to be put in that position. Because I don't want to have to feel like I'm, you know, struggling and scrambling for an answer and everything. So the point being is that if I'm living a life that is in darkness, if I have secret sin going on in my life, man, the last thing I want to be doing is hanging around people who are trying to avoid doing that. Because you know what? I'm going to have to come up with a better way of answering that. But I don't desire, you know, scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage and pancakes as a good reason for me to go to a gathering just to maybe get caught up in a position that I don't want to be caught up in, you know?
Yeah. Yep, and I don't want to take the risk of having somebody ask me the hard question.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about accountability. You know, it's all about that. Now, that doesn't mean there's some guys say, hey, listen, man, I'm just an introvert. I don't like big crowds. I don't like to have to, you know, I don't even like going to church that often because I'm just, well, here's the deal. I think that God, I think those are learned traits, okay? I don't believe that's something that we're born as an introvert. I believe it's something that's learned as a result of what has taken place in our own experiences growing up. That we've had in our past that keep us from either not saying something because you don't know any better or you don't qualify or whatever. So you just keep quiet and just listen right here, right? Whereas in some cases, even as an extrovert, they can usually, you know, I get so many guys that say, hey, I'm not like you, Raul. I'm just not like you. So, you know, you
well,
have to accept
me. We don't
me.
Need two of us.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. But the fact is that God wants us to come together. He talks about, Paul reminds us, and I think it's in Hebrews, it says that let's not stop gathering this way.
Yeah, if Paul wrote Hebrews, yeah. We don't really know.
Yeah,
But okay.
Anyway, the Word of God, why would you have to do that?
But
so
yeah,
the Word of God just says 10. That, hey, He wants men to gather. Truly, we are to be taking the position of the spiritual headship of our homes. And we know that we have failed in that. So the last thing we want to do is go to church and pretend like we are or act as if we have been when we've given it actually to our wives to take over, because they know so much more about the Bible. They know the stories, and they can tell that she's been talking to the kids about that sort of thing. And they can go to church and listen to it on Sunday. They don't need me. I could take care of the house here and take care of the things that I need to take care of. And they can go over there and get that. We have dropped the ball. And we continue to do so with all these excuses why we don't go to church, okay?
you hit on so many things there, it's hard to pick one thing to comment on. I'll go backwards just a little bit, we have these learned behaviors, not liking crowds you were talking about. Well, the learned behaviors can in fact be unlearned when we make a conscious effort to unlearn them.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, that is a function of the Holy Spirit in our lives because he is the change agent. So, you might have a dislike of crowds. That can change. God can change a man's heart.
All right. I like that. Let's take a break. Here's a question that we'll come back and answer. This will have a little bit of time, and that's probably a good thing. Why does my husband want sex in the morning? I can read your writing. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez, isn't afraid to tackle difficult topics.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
I only see two choices when he won't go to counseling. You either keep on putting up with this, which doesn't sound like a very good idea to me, or you have to draw the hard line in the sand and say, I want to remain married to you, I want to make this marriage work, but there have to be changes because I will not live this way anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about divorce, but I'm asking you to move out. Or I will move out and file for a legal separation so I'm protected financially because I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I will not be manipulated and controlled and threatened, and I will not live like this. Mm-hmm. I want our marriage to work. I love you, but this marriage is not working currently.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul going to finish up with a question that, what was that question again?
Why does my husband want sex in the morning?
Why does my husband want sex in the morning? It's really a simple answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm already ready. So
things are at attention.
My light switch is on, honey. Come on, catch up. What a way to start the day.
We are so wired that way, and it's just so, it's so funny because, God created us to be able to have children, to have family. That was the whole intent. And so, and God in his infinite wisdom created us this way as men, two things, barbecue and sex, right? With your wife, not just making love with your wife. Yeah. We're not talking about outside. We're not talking about that sort. We're not talking about masturbation. That is something I believe is totally wrong, okay? But here's the deal, is that we're wired a certain way. And I think it's okay. And I think our wives, the more that we talk to them and let them know what's going on and why we are, we feel the way we feel, and they may listen and have their input and not necessarily agree with us, which the majority of the time they're going to say, are you kidding? No way. That's not going to happen right now. My point being, when there's communication, that means that there's opportunity to be able to understand and have compassion for. Okay. And so we may be able to understand their take. They may be able to understand our take. And guess what happens? There becomes a compromise. And in that compromise, that especially when we ask the Holy Spirit to be there with us, especially in these differences where these challenges, where we say, hey, it's only natural, sweetheart. This is what the way God created me. Raul said it on the radio. He said, this is what, the way it is. Yes, it is. But you know what? We're to respect and honor and cherish our wives.
Exactly. Okay? Not to use them as an instrument of our gratification.
That's right. And we actually are to love them as Christ loved the church. My goodness. He died.
But it says in the Bible that her body belongs to me, Raul.
Yeah, well, look at your own body, brother. I mean, if your body's not in good shape, don't be sitting here and talking about things like that. And your body is not yours. It actually belongs to God. You know,
it says that my body belongs to my wife.
That's right.
There's a two-way street here. You know, I like to read half of the verse. Yeah. Well, hey, honey, your body belongs to me. You know, just don't come back at me with, well, wait a minute, your body belongs to me.
Yeah.
You know, you know, we wake up sometimes ready to go, that doesn't mean that we have to use it.
Yeah, yeah. You can flaunt it in front of your wife. She's going to look at you and go, are you serious? You're going to dance around like that? Yeah.
I have no comment for that.
Yeah, you don't have to have a comment for that. But the reality is that that's the beauty of relationship with your wife, who she can love you and trust you to be able to, for you to do the same thing, to be completely transparent with her. That means to be able to let her inside, let her know your heart's desire. But you've got to be willing to hear hers also. And to be able to know that by asking the Holy Spirit to be present when you guys discuss things, that there's going to be a compromise. You may not be doing it her way. She's not going to be necessarily doing it your way, but you're going to definitely be doing it God's way. Okay? Mm-hmm. And especially if he's in the middle of things. And that's the way we want it. Well, you know.
And that's the way it is. You know, if a man is seeking Jesus and the wife is seeking Jesus, the two are most definitely going to come together in Jesus.
Amen. And you know what? Know this, brother. Jesus can see everything that's taking place. So love your wife. Love your wife. Show the affection. But treat her with respect and Amen. Honor her. God will honor you and bless your marriage. So this is good. This is good stuff, man. And we're going to take a week off next week. So listen to the podcast, and we'll be back the week following because Debbie and I are celebrating 10 years of being wed. And so we're going to be out of town Monday through Friday next week. So anyway, God bless you all. You pray for our brothers.
Well, Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would bless our brothers today, that we would be seekers of you in your name.